In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, amen. Long centuries before our Savior was born, the prophet Isaiah had said, as we heard in the Old Testament lesson this evening, "Behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people." Behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. The prophet Isaiah lived in troubled and turbulent times, and so do we. And so, like Isaiah and the people of his day, we too are in need of the good news that the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. St. John wrote, "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Having celebrated the birth of our Savior, we now celebrate his Epiphany. As you know, Epiphany happens to be a Greek word which means revealing, unveiling, showing forth. And on this feast of the Epiphany, the Church celebrates the revealing, the unveiling, the showing forth of Jesus as God. At Christmas, God appears in this world as man. At Epiphany, this man appears in this world as God, revealed to the Gentile wise men, baptized by John in the Jordan, changing water into wine at the wedding in Cana of Galilee. In the hymn we just sang, a hymn written by one Cellius Sedulius in the 5th century, all three events are celebrated, as they are in the ancient liturgy of Epiphany, where we find this anthem: "Now do we celebrate a holy day adorned by three miracles. Today a star led the wise men to the manger. Today water was made wine at the wedding feast. Today Christ was baptized of John in Jordan that he might save us. Alleluia." This next Sunday we'll celebrate the baptism of our Lord. And on the following Sunday we will celebrate his first miracle in Cana of Galilee. But this evening we celebrate the coming of the wise men, led by a star, to worship the infant Savior. In all this we celebrate the manifestation, the revealing, the showing forth of Christ as God. And since God alone can save, our salvation, in fact, depends on the fact, the blessed reality, that this young child with Mary, his mother, whom the wise men worshipped, is, in fact, God, one of the Holy Trinity. As Dr. Luther sings in one of his wonderful hymns, "He whom the worlds cannot contain doth in Mary's lap repose. He is become an infant small, who by his might upholdeth all." Who by his might upholdeth all. or as we sing in Christopher Wordsworth's Epiphany hymn, anthems be to thee addressed, God in man made manifest. In St. Matthew's wonderful recounting of the story of the wise men, we see how the creation itself bears witness to the appearance of the Creator to his creation. Long centuries before, the psalmist had prayed, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork." And already long before that, during the long wilderness wanderings of the people of Israel, that Gentile seer named Balaam prophesied, "I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not nigh. A star shall come forth out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel." And now that bright star appears in the heavens, and led by that star, those mysterious wise men set out to find the one whose birth that star proclaimed. The creation itself proclaims the birth in the flesh of the Creator of all things, God made man. At Christmas, we noted how the wood of Jesus' manger foreshadowed the wood of the cross, and of how the swaddling clothes that held him foreshadowed the linen winding sheet that would enfold his lifeless body. Similarly, the wise men's gift of myrrh foreshadows the myrrh which Nicodemus will bring to embalm the Savior's lifeless body, just as their gift of gold points to him as king, and their incense points to him as God. Anthems be to thee addressed, God in man made manifest, truly God in the flesh. Yet already the cross is seen. Also in this, that King Herod seeks to enlist the wise men in his plot to kill the infant Lord, this infant who is God, one of the Holy Trinity, come to save us mortal sinners, by his death destroying death, and by his resurrection opening the kingdom of heaven to all who trust in him. Epiphany, revealing, unveiling, showing forth. God appears as man. God speaks. God reveals himself. God sheds on this darkened world the heavenly light of his mercy, by which alone we live. But for the time being, the words of the prophet Isaiah remain all too painfully true. Behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the peoples. As St. John writes, the light shines in the darkness, but one day that darkness shall end. On that last and great day, when the Lord, who appeared in humility, will appear again in power and great glory as judge of the living and the dead. In fact, in the original language of the New Testament scriptures, the word epiphany almost always refers not to Christ's first appearing in lowliness, but to his second appearing in power and great glory. And so the epiphany of the Lord is the epiphany of him who is both the Savior and the Judge. That will be the last and great epiphany, revealing, unveiling, showing forth. And so as I did on Epiphany last year, so also this year, I wish to conclude with the final stanza of Christopher Wordsworth's hymn. Grant us grace to see thee, Lord, mirrored in thy holy word. May we imitate thee now and be pure as pure art thou, that we like to thee may be at thy great epiphany, and may praise thee ever blessed, God in man made manifest. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.